Welcome back in. Matt Gubala with you here, 720 WGN. So this story came out of Crane Chicago Business this week that I thought was very interesting. Bring $100 to the steakhouse and leave your bare belly behind. At first, I'm reading that thinking, I don't get that. Does that mean we're going to be really full when we're done? What's going on here? Allie Marotti covers restaurants for Crane Chicago Business, and she joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Allie, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good. So good to have you back on the show. So Steak 48, right, is that the restaurant in River North? Is this a brand new restaurant?
It opened in the summer of 2017, I believe.
Oh, wow.
It's based out of Phoenix.
Okay. So they're far away normally, but they're here. They started here in Phoenix in 2017, or they've been in Chicago since 2017?
They've been in Chicago since 2017.
God,
yeah, they do have other locations around the country as
okay.
well.
So, but they came out, this is a brand new policy that they came out with this week?
Yeah, so from what I understand, I think that maybe they were always, the dress code was always business casual, but this basically they got very specific and kind of broke out what that means, what you can and can't wear, and then they instituted this $100 per person food and beverage minimum, which is definitely new, and that has sparked a lot of backlash on social media, just kind of talking about how they're basically trying to filter out a certain demographic. But yeah, this story has definitely sparked some conversations for sure.
Well, it definitely has. So two things here. One is the price minimum that they're charging, and which I've heard of before. Listen, I've been in Vegas when you go for football games, you want a couch at the sports bar, they're going to say, hey, it's going to be $200 minimum that you have to spend. You got to buy food and drink. It's not like you just have to shell it out, but you're spending at least as much if you're sitting here. Okay, I get it. I'm here for this. A lot of people want it. Whatever. For a restaurant, especially in these times, to be bold enough to say, okay, you can come in. You have to spend a minimum of $100 per person in your group. And then it's not just, and you got to, you know, no jeans, no sneakers. I would get that, right? We all understand some restaurants want to say, hey, we got a vibe here and you got to meet the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
This list of you can'ts is pretty intense. You know, I know there's some question over when you say there's a certain demographic. Some people are saying, are you trying to keep black people out of here? Are you trying to keep certain ethnic groups out of here? Because the look described and what you can't wear does not describe a bunch of people coming in from Schaumburg in general.
Right.
I would say.
Yeah. And that was definitely something that a lot of people on Twitter and Facebook brought up. Right. And just so, you know, maybe we should talk about some of the forbidden items. Right. So you've got, like you said, some of the stuff that makes sense, but, you know, some stuff just seems extreme. And some of the things, so no exposed undergarments, no men's tank tops, no bandeau or tube tops unless there's a waist-length jacket over them, any clothing that's revealing or shows a bare midriff or excessive cleavage, overly frayed jeans. And, you know, those two points kind of jumped out at me just because, you know, the high-waisted frayed jeans with the tube top or crop top is very much in style now. Anything with sexually explicit language or graphics, any offensive odors like marijuana or tobacco or too much perfume, that kind of stuff. So definitely very specific. I did talk to a couple experts about this, and one person who works for restaurants and does their PR said she would never advise her client to do this. She would never advise a dress code of any kind just because the way society has moved so far away, you know, from we're more casual now, right? And it does alienate people. It alienates a lot of people that might want to come in at a time when restaurants have just come off of 14 months of real struggle. A lot of restaurants have been operating at a loss during the entirety of the pandemic. In Chicago, indoor dining is still limited to 75% capacity, and restaurants have to keep 6 feet of distance between the tables. But part of that, you know, could be why this restaurant decided to institute this $100 minimum in particular, because it is hard to get a reservation these days, and they need to make sure that the people that are coming in, since they're at reduced capacity, are spending enough money to make it worth being open for it to be financially viable for them. So it could be one thing that's going on there. But at the same time, pretty much every restaurant that I've talked to all throughout the city, you know, in the past few months, they're just desperate for people to come in. They're really happy to have people finally back out and about, which is happening more and more as, you know, people get more comfortable after they're vaccinated. So it's really interesting. And another expert who's kind of a consultant in the industry was telling me that, you know, what they're doing is clearly trying to target, you know, create a sense of exclusivity and target affluent customers. But to have a price that is that high for a meal, you know, it could ultimately drive a place out of business if they're not getting enough people in that want to spend that. And to do that, they're going to need something that really sets them apart, whether it's live entertainment or something along those lines. And, you know, he was just saying that with a steakhouse at Tark, there are just so many steakhouses out there to go to have a nice experience. So they're going to probably find out pretty quickly if they've set that price too high and if they've gotten a little bit too exclusive with the dress code.
Well, and it's interesting to think about because steakhouses, now if this is a high-end steakhouse, and I don't know, but I'm assuming if they're going to charge this money, it's not Outback, right? So a good steak is going to run you $30 to $40 to $50, right? At least probably at a place like this. And then as long as there's a bottle of wine or two, everybody's probably hitting that. You just don't want people showing up having a salad and a beer and wasting the table space when you could have been making more money. That's kind of how I feel about it. Am I off? Is this an exorbitant price?
I think that you're pretty much right about that, right? And we wrote about this restaurant, Cranes did, back in 2016 when they announced that they were coming to Chicago. And one of the managers had told the reporter then that the average tab was expected to be about $100 a person. You know, from what I was seeing on social media, and, you know, I'm guilty of this too sometimes when I go out to eat. You just, maybe an appetizer looks really good and you're not that hungry that evening. You know, you maybe just want to get an appetizer and a drink or two, and maybe that doesn't get you to $100. But it seems like they're really encouraging the whole shebang here, right? The steak, multiple drinks, maybe a couple appetizers per person. But again, like there's just a flexibility that is gone when you set that kind of limitation, and you do feel kind of constrained. You know, I think that's something to think about too, is like, how you feel when you go into a restaurant and there's a rule in place, whatever rule that may be about what you can and can't order. I've been to lots of places pre-pandemic that say, you know, you can't order an appetizer as your main dish, that sort of thing. So it's not, like you said earlier, this is not completely unheard of. And I think if we look in other industries too, like think about golf clubs where the membership fees are really high, that sort of thing. It's typically within a business's right to set minimums or dress codes, that sort of thing. But like these experts that I talked to said, it just kind of depends on whether it's going to work out. And right now in the pandemic, at the end of the pandemic, you know, as things start going back to normal, people kind of are going to be choosier. And a lot of businesses that I've written about lately are all about meeting the consumer where they're at, you know, kind of catering to how their tastes have changed and their needs and wants have changed during the pandemic. And this seems like it might not do that. But I think, you know, it remains to be seen.
I'm really curious about the we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Ali Marotti is with us. She is the restaurant reporter for Crane Chicago Business. We're talking about Steak 48 here in River North. And I'm really curious about how detailed, because I understand Ali was saying, you know, usually they say don't set a dress code. People are more casual these days. You're going to alienate a lot of people. Clearly, they're okay with that. But to me, that's saying, you know, formal wear or business or something that says, here's what we're expecting. Not a list of everything that's not allowed, that's so specific, and even, quote, offensive odors. We'll talk more about that next here on 720 WGN. Pat Bubal here with Ali Marotti. She covers restaurants for Crane Chicago Business. Go to chicagobusiness.com, subscribe, and then you can see everything that's going on. But we're talking about Steak 48, and Ali, one of the things that they ask for, or in their list of things that are not allowed, which goes on and on. But one of the things is clothes emitting offensive odors like perfume, tobacco, or marijuana. And that's fascinating to me because I understand, of course, nobody wants, you know, the guy that's wearing a bottle of Dracar next to them the whole night. But how are you going to win their way? I mean, who are the poor hosts and hostesses at this place who are at the front lines going, you know what? You kind of smell a little strong. Go straight to the club, forget the steak, you're not staying here. That sounds like a recipe for a lot of confrontation and trouble.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that a lot of people that work, you know, in consumer-facing industries may be used to at this point. You know, we had a lot of, like, mass policing, and most restaurants, they still have a lot of, you know, COVID regulations in place one way or the other, whether it's wearing your mask whenever you get up from your table or keeping your distance, whatever that may be. So, you know, workers may be more comfortable with that now. This is definitely something that, you know, if you were running a restaurant, you would probably have to go through some training on with your workers. And that kind of brings up another issue that's going on in pretty much every industry right now, but just the huge challenge that's out there in getting workers right now. I did a story about this a couple weeks ago, and the restaurant industry in particular is struggling just because everything's opening back up. Maybe workers aren't ready to come back to work yet. Maybe they want more money, you know, whatever the reason might be. Restaurants are already having to up their wages or put some other sweetener in with the deals to try to get new workers to come on board. So I don't know, it might be something if you were a potential employee, you would factor in having to do that. And who knows, you know, they did respond to me and they gave me a comment kind of saying that they had, you know, at all of their restaurants, they acquire business casual. So I don't know, you know, if it's something that they operate on, you know, we're only going to confront a consumer or a customer if somebody else complains about it kind of thing. So, but yeah, that's a good point for sure.
Well, that's interesting, you know, if they go that route, because you could totally see a situation where somebody's being told, no, I'm sorry, we're not going to, because if another customer complains, that means they're already seated, right? I mean, in general.
Right.
So how in the world are you going to go up to the table and go, sorry, people don't like you here. So you're going to have to, I mean, that's just, oh my gosh, I don't understand them inviting the scrutiny unless it is just to get you and I to talk about it so that we're doing this and people are hearing about Steak 48 and there's a certain group of people that's going to go, you know what? I'd like to be at a place that people look nice and don't smell. So let's go there. Maybe,
right,
maybe
exactly.
That's a possibility.
Maybe it's a big PR move and it's playing off, right?
I'll be interested to check in with you in a couple of months and see like what you find out about how they're doing and are they doing well or are they struggling and will they change these policies or will they face some wrath from them? I know there's been a bit on social media. I don't know if it's enough to really change their minds or make any problems. I wonder if some people will purposely try to test them and see how they respond to it. I do want to ask you, though, with the offensive odors. So I'm in River North a lot, and there are some dispensaries down here.
Yeah.
And I cannot go a day without walking a few blocks and not at some point like a punch in the face. Feeling like, and I never see exactly where it's coming from, but it's like, my God, somebody here is just smoking a huge one. And it's like, you know, we all love when we're walking downtown and the chocolate factory is wafting over and we smell a little chocolate. It's very nice. When you're walking down the street and suddenly somebody like threw a bag of marijuana smoke over your head, and you're inhaling it. It's such a strong odor. That I totally get how a restaurant's like, you're not going to go smoke and then come in here reeking like that because it's way worse than cigarettes. I mean, that carries. I've really, you know, I was in college a long time ago. I don't remember things very well, but my God, it stinks.
You know, that's a really interesting point to bring up. And actually, I used to cover the cannabis industry too. And, you know, just to remind listeners, it only became recreationally legal in Illinois in early 2020. So, we're about 18 months into that, and I find it very fascinating that now you're starting to see these things pop up, you know, the mention of marijuana odor pop up in other businesses' kind of protocols. I think that's just really fascinating.
I really wonder, Allie, and I know that there is, like, there's no way it's getting repealed, right? It's been a tax windfall for the state. It's doing pretty well.
Sure.
There hasn't been a huge backlash or problem we've had so far. So, of course, it's going to work, but I wouldn't be surprised, and I would highly encourage there to be some limitation on the smoking products because this is in brownies, it's in gummies. Like, there's all sorts of ways you can get it. And I don't know, maybe people say, no, inhaling it is so much better, it's so much different. But I could see some sort of limitation on you can only sell a certain percentage of actual smoking-related products because you're stinking up the whole downtown.
Yeah, that's true. And my colleague John Plutz, who covers the cannabis industry, he just had a really fascinating story about edibles and, you know, how popular they are and how just the candy industry in Chicago has kind of lent its expertise in that area.
Yeah.
And that's really going to be driving a lot of the growth in the industry. So maybe we will see more of a movement toward that. But right now it's the smokable products that kind of are reigning supreme there.
Yeah, no kidding. And you can tell if you're downtown and if anybody's ever walking around saying, wait a minute, is there a dispensary? You'll say, yes, clearly there must be. It's around here somewhere.
and there will be more too.
And Allie, I don't know, and I apologize. I know this isn't your beat. It was previously, but when you're smelling that downtown, I mean, somebody's smoking it and it's legal to buy recreational marijuana, but are we allowed to, cause like there's open container laws. I can't just be walking around slugging beers down the street, even though that's legal. Am I allowed to be smoking my blunt outside of the shuttered Rainforest Cafe if I like?
No, you cannot smoke in public. You can do it on your deck or in your backyard and on your own private property, but you cannot in public or in a car or on a boat or anything like that. So that's probably somewhat a staff law that's
I was going to say, there's a couple people who appear to have broken the rules, unless it's really coming down from the balconies of the high rises nearby. I don't think that's the case. I think some people are not waiting till they get home. What cracks me up is my place of business during the week is about a block away from a Sunnyside, which is one of the mm-hmm. dispensaries. And mm-hmm. they give you this little orange bag when you get your product. And mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've been outside and people come out of there, take everything out of the bag, shove it in their pockets and throw the bag away. And I can never figure out, like, are you afraid? Are you embarrassed? Do you think you're going to get robbed? Like, what's the theory on, I got to get this in my personal pockets. I don't want the bright orange Sunnyside bag. And the garbage can outside of my office on the weekends is just filled to the brim with these orange bags.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Oh, it's hilarious. There's this whole, like, you know, I want to know the psychology of people who are buying the product and then like, I can't carry the bag. I can't be exposed like this. Like it's their scarlet letter or something.
Yeah, that's a really funny comparison. But yeah, I mean, going back to your previous point about the odors, I will say that that is not just a new thing, right? It's not, that has always been going on before it was legal. So I'd be interested if in your neighborhood, you're noticing that more often in the past 18 months.
In River North here, I've had this office for 15 years. Allie, mm-hmm. until this year, I had never smelled pot as I'm walking around by the Rock and Roll McDonald's or Walgreens or anywhere. And now mm-hmm. every day at some point, I feel like I'm finding Pigpen in the Peanuts cartoon. Like there's the guy, there's the smoke all around. You know, it's just pervasive. It's amazing.
That's pretty funny.
Allie Marotti covers restaurants and lots of other stuff for Crane Chicago Business. Go to chicagobusiness.com. Subscribe and get all the good stuff. Allie, we always appreciate you coming on the show. Have a wonderful holiday weekend.
Thanks, you too.
We'll get you into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next here on 720 WGN.